Welcome to the Coda Catch Up podcast. My name is Jamie Jones, and before I start this episode, I just want to apologize. I'm currently sick, but I didn't want to stop recording more episodes. I've let a couple go since I've been sick, but I'm feeling good enough to record, and then hopefully the sound is still okay. So I do apologize for my voice. But this week, we're going to be talking about React Boilerplate, as well as another little CLI tool. But React Boilerplate is kind of like the HTML5 boilerplate, so it's a really great way to get kind of like a semi-standardized and feature-rich React application bootstrapped. So the headline or the byline for this is Quick Setup for New Performant-Orientated Offline-First React.js Applications. And it's pretty simple to get started. So all you do is you clone the repo down, you run npm run setup, and then npm run start, go to localhost 3000, and boom, that's it. Your app's up there. You can start playing around with it. So the things that it gives you is predictable state. So it uses Redux to take control of the application state. Just about everyone's using Redux these days. And keep state mutations manageable. So if you have it, the boilerplate works with Chrome Redux DevTools. So hopefully you do have that extension. It's really handy. And that allows you to see, playback, and change your action history. So really, really handy tool there. I recommend getting the Chrome extension for that. There are other ways to get around that if you don't have the Chrome extension. You just have to add a bit more code to that. So that's just something to note. It gives you instant feedback. So enjoy the best developer experience and code your app at the speed of thought. This is what they're saying here. But essentially, basically, when you save your changes to CSS and JavaScript, they're reflected more or less instantaneously without refreshing the page. So it's pushing the JavaScript and CSS back into the page and without an actual reload being required. So basically, if you haven't seen this before, you can make an update even in a JS file and magically the underlying code, everything will stay the same, all your state and all that kind of stuff, and it will just boom, instantly have all those updates. It's quite nice. I do find it will freak out sometimes, but most of the time it just works, so it's quite nice. So if you do use it and find out something that's not quite working, just give a refresh and it'll probably resolve your issue. Just sometimes it trips up. So next generation JavaScript, of course, you know, you cannot build a React app these days without using next generation JavaScript, you know, ES 2015, whatever they're calling it now. Really, really important, I think, that you should adopt it. Like, you can use the ES5 way, but really you should be going the ES6, ES2015 way, and it will do all that for you using JSX syntax and all that jazz. So it's good that it's included. You can use what they're calling next generation CSS. So you can write composable CSS that's co-located with your components. So CSS modules, that's all included there, ready to go. They're using an industry standard routing. So they're saying that it's a natural way of having routes, so like slash about to your application, and it handles all that, so you don't have to hash bang and all that kind of stuff. There's quick scaffolding, so you can automate the creation of components, containers, routes, selectors and sagas, their tests, all right from the CLI. So you don't have to fight the what they're calling the glue of your code and focus on your app. So it's quite nice there. I'm a really big fan of using CLI tools to boost your productivity and making and reducing the amount of kind of quote unquote boilerplate or basics that you have to do over and over again. Like, you know it so well. It's a lot of copy pasta sometimes, and just want to go and add in your extra little bits you need in there. CLI tool can avoid having or can help you avoid having to do that. And wherever there's a CLI tool for those kind of things, I highly recommend using them. And the last one, which is pretty massive, is offline first. So there's massive talk at the moment about offline first and making sure that your application, or generally even just offline applications, that your application works offline. This makes it incredibly easy to do. So I'm really impressed that they've built that in, and it's certainly pretty amazing to watch it in action. I've been watching a few conference talks lately, and they've showed this in action with various frameworks, not just React, with Ember, for example. And it's really nice to be able to see that will work offline. Like if you're, for some reason, you have to go into flight mode, but someone still needs to see some information about your site and it works offline, that's really handy. Or even times when there's really bad network connectivity and you need to flip around, it just seems like the app's still working, even though you might have really bad reception, say, on your phone, which you're trying to look at, or maybe your internet's dropped out. It's a really handy thing to have. So the other things too that they have is some nice kind of like wrapping of tests, and they allow you to not have to worry about some of the little quirks come up with setting JavaScript tests, which is quite nice. They've also got defaults for things like AppVeyor, Travis CI, all that kind of stuff. So it really does give you a really good boilerplate of what you'll need. So it includes your post CSS stuff, your auto prefixer, Babel or Babel, the CSS Next or ES Next stuff. There's lots of stuff that it includes. So it's a really good package of things that you're generally going to do anyway, at least 90% or even more that you're going to be putting into your Webpack file and configuring your React app to do. So I really recommend checking this one out. You can get that one at reactboilerplate.com. And I'd really like to see or hear your thoughts on what you think about it, if you've played around with it. It seems like a pretty cool package. I think this is going to be my go-to, just like HTML5 Boilerplate was for quite a while. Really cool project. But it leads me on to another one, which is called Mikey, which I got brought up in a Slack channel. And essentially, it's a command line tool for generating React Redux projects. And it's quite nice. It kind of does sort of a subset, but a little bit more. It's a slightly different tool than React Boilerplate. And it allows you to just create, say, it's a CLI tool, allows you to actually just create things like your action files, your component, reducer, helper, container, all that kind of stuff. Allows you to do that, as well as also auth. It can generate kind of like boilerplate auth for you. Really cool tool. You can check that out at mikeysax.com/mikey-react-generator. I'll leave a link in the show notes. Or you can just search for it on NPM as Mikey. It's pretty cool. It's a nice little CLI tool. It works fairly well. It's still quite new, but it seems quite polished. I think what's been worked on has been well thought through and well trialed. So really nice there. And while I'm on that topic, I want to talk about learnredux.com. So Wes, you might know him from releasing React.js for beginners. He's released this new course, which is free. It's called Learn Redux, and essentially it's a playlist on YouTube, but there's also a GitHub repo as well. And there's 20 short videos, and it's about 2.5 hours or so. It might take a little bit more time for you to go through if you're going to take notes and play around. But it goes through the steps to get you comfortable with Redux and also the React router. So you do need to kind of know a bit of React. Like, you can't come in there and knowing no React, you will find it a bit hard. But if you do know a bit of React, hopefully you've done the React.js for Beginners course, this is a great supplementary course to it, because Redux is something that you're going to be using in React. Having this kind of global store is really, really important, and it will make your life a lot easier. So I'd recommend checking out learnredux.com. It's a fantastic course. I've gone most of the way through it so far, and it makes a lot of sense to me. I've been through a bunch of Redux tutorials and even looking at production code. This certainly makes it a lot easier to understand and get a grasp of than anything else. It's also changed my way of thinking about other things. Like, I thought, oh, I would think about it in this way, but now I'm actually thinking about it a different way, and it's turned out to be a lot easier. So I really recommend checking that one out at learnredux.com. But that's it for this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. Again, I do apologize for my voice. But yeah, I'd love to know your thoughts on React Boilerplate, if you've played around with it, anything like that. Also, if you've tried out Wes's course, Learn Redux, or anything like that, I'd love to know your feedback on that as well. Personally, I've been loving his courses, so I really recommend checking them out. I'm not being paid or anything to say that. I really, really do enjoy the courses. So yeah, check those out, and I'd love to know your feedback. But other than that, we'll catch the next episode.